Now back with more of our Sunday special, more of a tribute to Glenn Miller. Dave Garroway was recalling the days when he knew Glenn Miller, too.
It was a famous Saturday night at the Sunnybrook Ballroom outside of Pottstown, Pennsylvania. I remember that the state police had to be called out on because the cars had blocked the highways for a couple miles in every direction. People had to park in muddy fields miles off and walk in. But they did. And they were glad when they heard the band. Glenn played in a very tremulous time, you know. Really, it was almost a war band because it was from 38 to 44. Time when railroad trains and stations were crowded with men in uniform and pretty girls standing on tiptoe saying goodbye and wishing they weren't. And there was a great emotional need for music of the kind that Glenn furnished.
Hour one of a tribute to Glenn Miller. Incidentally, you're listening to The Little Brown Jug. I think you probably saw the picture of the Glenn Miller story. Much of it was not true, of course. Many of the tunes were out of place. This number, of course, you remember the Glenn Miller story was the finale to the picture. Actually, this was among one of the first records Glenn Miller made as far back as 1939. So the story in the movie was not altogether true, that this was the number that he sent home to Helen on his final broadcast from England. Not true at all. More of the Miller story, as we remembered, and many other people that knew Glenn Miller, in around about 5 minutes after the news. Jack Cullen here with part two of the Sunday special, a tribute to Glenn Miller. Along with Glenn Miller, of course, were people like Tex Beneke, the Modern Airs, Marion Hutton. Did you know even K-Star sang for a little while with the Glenn Miller band while Marion Hutton was having a youngster around about 1939? But I remember speaking with his nickname actually is Spooky. He's really known as Hal Dixon. Hal Dixon, of course, was part of the Modern Airs. Or was it Dickinson? I think it was Dickinson, actually. But I remember speaking with him about the Modern Airs and their beginnings and how they came to the attention of Glenn Miller. Would you like to hear a bit of that interview I had some years ago with him? Listen.
We sang a lot of solos. You know, we never sang a solo with Glenn as long as we were with him?
I'm aware of
it. We never sang a quartet solo. It was always with Paula or Marion or Ray or Tex. I want to tell you about the Modern Airs. We started, I got the name, say, in 1936, and then Charlie Barnett was commissioned by Martin Block, who was a disc jockey in those days, to do a theme forum called...
Not the all-night record thing.
Oh, that was Stan Shaw. That was
Milkman,
Stan, stay up, Stan, all-night record man. We sang that with Charlie and also...
It's make-believe ballroom time. Is that the one?
No, this was called Let's
Dance in our make-believe ballroom.
That's the first record
we
made that with Charlie.
Are you on that?
Yeah, that's the original.
Oh,
that's
I didn't know.
First time the monitor sang on a record for...
Also, I want to remember your Paul Whiteman era, and very briefly, you weren't with him too long, were you?
We were with Paul Whiteman 2 years, believe it or not.
Was it that long? Yeah. And in January the 17th of 1941, you made your very first record with Glenn Miller as the Modernaires. I wonder if Paul remembers what the record was.
Golly, I think it was something like Chattanooga Choo Choo or something like that.
No, hon, it predates that.
I
won't play guessing games with you. I'll tell you. It's a tune called, and it's still around as a great standard, You Stepped Out of a Dream.
Oh, wasn't that with Ray? Oh, yes.
Ray, yes, but this is your first session with Miller.
That's right. I remember that. It was Bill Conway made the vocal and Finnegan. Mm-hmm. Bill Finnegan made the... It's a very good record. You know what we're going to do? We got to get that out again. I think that's a... I think it's a very good arrangement, too. Very, very
was
good.
Was it before I Know Why?
Yes, it
was.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
I Know
was.
Why is from the picture that you were...
From Sun Valley Serenade, you know, with Sonia Henney. And who was the girl that did the ghost... Oh, Pat Friday, wasn't it?
Pat Friday.
That was the ghost singer for Lynn Berry. Anyway...
I wonder what happened to Pat. I was asking Harold about 2 weeks ago. You don't hear anything of her anymore. I wonder what... she probably married some lovely man and settled in Beverly Hills. Wisconsin, a mansion.
Let's like to believe that. And I think... We can pass very quickly the Miller years here. And indeed, they weren't too many years when you figure you joined them in 41. The band broke up in 42. There's only 2 years there.
Well, that was Paul in 41. We joined Christmas of 39.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us a song to learn. It was very funny, you know. Glenn looked like an eagle. You know, he'd look over the end of his glasses. You know, like if you did anything wrong, he'd look at you like and hold the horn down, you know. So he gave us a song to learn called When You First Ate an Oyster, You Didn't Like Oysters, Did You? That was from a...
Does anybody know the answer?
No, it was from a Broadway show that was a bomb. But it was our only solo, and it was such a bomb that we never sang any solos.
What's the name of the song that I'm trying to remember?
I think it was, I don't know who wrote it. I think maybe Cole Porter or somebody.
Yes,
yeah, you're right, it was a Cole Porter or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, we joined about Christmas time, and then we went along quite a long time before we made that date that mm-hmm. you're talking about there. And we were with it like Christmas of 39 to when the band broke up in 42. It was a very sad day, but I learned a lot from Glenn. I learned a lot about editing. And I learned a lot. Glenn was very good at that. You know, that's why the band leaders today that sound like Glenn Miller can't make it, because they don't know what to take out and what to leave in. Mm-hmm. All their arrangements are, they just don't sound right tempo-wise, they don't sound right sound-wise. Even Jerry Gray, who was the arranger for those things, never made it as a band leader.
No.
He gets around and he plays with his band and he sounds all right, but he never knew how to do it. Like Finnegan, Sauter Finnegan, they went down too
it
was a gorgeous orchestra, but they just don't know how to present something to the people. And I guess that's one of the things that I did learn from
him. Let's not ever put down the tunes, the material that you had to present in those days. I wasn't always delighted with, if I was a singer, I wouldn't be delighted with the tempos that were presented, and sometimes the backdrops that Miller, maybe I'd like to have had him with strings at that time as Dorsey brought in.
Yeah.
I wonder, Miller, with that...
Well, when he got to the Army, you know, he had the strings.
Yes.
He sounded very good. But still, that band never went over like the civilian band. And I'll tell you why, because every guy in that band was the same. He didn't change... He changed one guy who was drafted. That was Trigger, when he got Doc Goldberg. That band was had its own fans. If you'd have changed anybody, I'll bet you... 10% of the band following would have gone down, because they knew Willie was there, they knew Tanner, they knew Pretty, they knew Moe, they knew Trigger, and all the guys that were belonged to the band belonged to them too, and they'd say, "How are you, Lightning?" You know, and they knew everybody, and that's why the band it had a fan club. Everybody had one, and luckily they all went up at the same
mm-hmm.
time.
Yeah.
It was a little different than the Dorsey band. Now, the Dorsey band was a swinging band, don't get me wrong. It was beautiful. But they had so many changes that he never had that impetus from having personal likes in the orchestra. And
Hal Dickinson talking about his days with the Glenn Miller Band as part of the Modernaires with his wife, Paula Kelly. Remember some of the songs they used to sing with Glenn Miller? Here's a bit of a medley.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H.
I got a gal in Kalamazoo. I'll make my bid for that freckle-faced kid I'm her into. I'm going to Michigan to see the sweetest gal in Kalamazoo. Zoo, 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 zoo.
Couple of jiggers of moonlight and add a star. Four in the cool of a June night and one guitar.
Mix in a couple of dreamers and there you are. Lovers hail the moonlight cocktail. Follow the simple directions and they will bring life of another complexion where you'll be king.
You will awake in the morning and start to sing.
Moonlight cocktails are the thing.
Why are the stars always winking and blinking above? What makes a fellow start thinking of falling in love?
It's not the season, the reason is plain as the moon. It's just Elmer's tune, yes, it's just Elmer's tune.
Yes, it does have words.
First said I love you. You promised ever we'd be together. Always singing
a love song, my darling. A moonlight
boy, you can give me a shine. I'm going back and tell my baby that'll never roam.
So Chattanooga choo-choo, won't you choo-choo me home? Chattanooga, Chattanooga,
all aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga,
get on board.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga, Chattanooga choo-choo, won't you choo-choo me home? Chattanooga choo-choo, carry me home.
Some of the songs that the modern era has popularized as part of the Glenn Miller Band back in the 1940s. This is a tribute to Glenn Miller. Oh, don't kid yourself. I'm enjoying it as much as you are, and will enjoy more after this.